Imagine, for a moment, an old bridge spanning a river in the middle of a busy city. The bridge has been there for almost a century. It was built well by careful engineers in an era when bridges were built to last. For most of those 100 years, it has carried traffic without serious incident, and the city has not had to think much about it. People drive across it every day. The road on top is a little worn, but mostly fine. From a distance, the bridge still looks dignified, the way old infrastructure does when it has been kept up. But if you go down to the river and look at the bridge from below, you see something else. There are hairline cracks in some of the concrete piers. There is rust on parts of the steel that hold the roadbed up. There are spots where the engineers, walking under the structure with flashlights, have circled small areas of concern with paint and a date. Twice a year, a team of inspectors comes through and quietly takes measurements. The cracks are not all the same age. Some have been there since the 1960s. Some are newer. The engineers have been watching them for years. The bridge is not in immediate danger. But the cumulative pattern of small fatigue in a structure that was never designed to last forever is starting to suggest that the city needs a plan. A few years ago, the city did the thing that civilizations have always done when an important piece of infrastructure starts to age. They started building a new bridge alongside the old one. The new bridge is not a replacement, exactly. The old bridge will still carry traffic for years. But every season, a little more traffic is diverted onto the new bridge. Slowly, deliberately, without anyone making a big announcement, the city is shifting from the old structure to the new one. By the time the old bridge finally has to be closed for major repairs, the city will be ready, because everyone will already be using the new bridge. That same pattern, the slow, deliberate parallel migration from an aging piece of infrastructure to a new one, is what we're going to talk about today. This is Rust, Gently, a patient introduction to how computers actually work and to one particular language for talking to them. I am your host. This is episode 31, Cryptography and the Security Migration. Today, we're going to talk about one of the most consequential and least discussed software stories of the last few years. The systematic replacement of the world's cryptographic libraries, the small pieces of code that protect every secure connection on the internet, with new versions written in Rust. We're going to look at why this particular corner of software has been so historically dangerous, why the migration is happening now, and what the world is going to look like on the other side. By the end of the episode, you will have a clear picture of why this story matters, not just to programmers, but to anyone whose information moves across the network, which is now essentially everyone. Let me back up to what cryptography actually is in the day-to-day sense that matters here. When you log into your bank, when you send a message to a friend, when your phone updates its software, the connection between your device and the other end of the connection is encrypted. Your password, your message, the software being downloaded, all of it travels across the public internet in a form that is unreadable to anyone who might be watching the traffic in between. The encryption is done by a small piece of software called a cryptographic library, which runs on your device and on the server you're talking to. Every secure connection in the modern world depends on these libraries. Without them, the internet as we know it could not function. For most of the history of the internet, the most important cryptographic library was a piece of software called OpenSSL. OpenSSL has been around for decades. It is, by some measures, the single most widely deployed piece of cryptographic code on Earth. It runs on virtually every Linux server, every Android phone, every smart device that talks to the network. If you have used any device connected to the internet in the last 20 years, OpenSSL has almost certainly been involved at some point. OpenSSL is, in this sense, the cryptographic equivalent of the old bridge. Important, widely used, trusted mostly, but also showing its age. OpenSSL is written in C. As we have discussed in this show, C is fast and powerful, but it gives the programmer almost no protection against the entire family of memory bugs that have caused most of the serious security vulnerabilities in modern computing. For OpenSSL specifically, those memory bugs have, over the years, produced some of the most consequential security incidents in the history of the internet. There was an incident in 2014 called Heartbleed, where a small memory bug in OpenSSL allowed any attacker, anywhere in the world, to read random pieces of memory from any server running the affected version. Passwords, encryption keys, private messages, all of it leaked out silently until the bug was patched. The cost of cleaning up after Heartbleed has been estimated, by various studies, to be in the hundreds of millions of dollars. It was, by some measures, the single most expensive software bug in history. And it was a memory bug in cryptographic code, written in a language that does not protect against memory bugs. After Heartbleed, the conversation in the security community began to shift. Several different teams started asking the same question. What if the cryptographic libraries that the entire internet depends on were written in a language that did not allow memory bugs at all? What if the entire category of vulnerabilities that Heartbleed represented could be made impossible at compile time, the way Rust makes them impossible? The work began, quietly, several years ago. A new cryptographic library, called Russell's, started being developed. It is written in Rust. It implements the same family of protocols as OpenSSL, but the rules of the language make the kinds of memory bugs that produced Heartbleed simply impossible to write. The team behind it spent years carefully implementing the cryptographic protocols, having the work reviewed by professional cryptographers, building up the same level of trust that OpenSSL had earned over decades. By 2023, Russell's was production ready. By 2025, it had been adopted by major projects across the industry. Cloudflare uses it in critical paths. The Linux kernel has integrated it for some kinds of kernel-level encryption. Major cloud providers have started using it in their infrastructure. The migration has not been sudden, but it has been steady, and it has been deliberate. Russell's is not the only example. There's a tool called Age, written in Rust, that handles file encryption with a far simpler interface than the older tools it replaces. There are Rust implementations of the Signal protocol, which is what powers the secure messaging apps you may use. There are Rust replacements for parts of Boring SSL, which is Google's fork of OpenSSL. There are smaller, more specialized libraries for specific cryptographic operations, all of them written in Rust, all of them designed from the start to be free of the memory bugs that have plagued their predecessors. What is interesting, when you step back and look at the whole picture, is that this migration is happening not just for technical reasons, but also for political ones. In 2022, the United States National Security Agency, the same agency famous for its surveillance work, published a public memo recommending that, where possible, software written in memory-unsafe languages be replaced with memory-safe alternatives. The memo named Rust specifically. The Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, a different United States government body, has issued similar recommendations. The White House, in 2024, published a technical report saying the same thing. The federal procurement system has begun to favor memory-safe languages in new contracts. These are not industry recommendations. These are governments looking at the cumulative cost of memory bugs in cryptographic code, deciding that the migration to memory-safe languages is no longer optional. For you, the listener, what this all means is that the infrastructure that protects your information every time you log into anything, every time you send a message, every time your phone updates, is in the process of being quietly rebuilt out of materials that are far less likely to fail. The migration is slow. The old bridges are still in use. But the new bridges are being built, and the traffic is steadily moving across. For real production work, this story is particularly relevant if you are building anything that handles sensitive data. The default choice for a cryptographic library 3 or 4 years ago was almost always OpenSSL, mostly out of inertia. Today, in 2026, the default choice for a new project is increasingly Russell's because the team has heard the same arguments you just heard, and they have decided not to build on a foundation with known fatigue cracks. The cumulative result, across the whole industry, is that the next decade of the internet will run on cryptographic code that the previous decade could not have produced. I want to spend a moment on a more subtle point, because the security migration story is sometimes told as if it were purely about preventing the next heartbleed, and there is more to it than that. The deeper point is about auditability. A cryptographic library written in a language that does not prevent memory bugs has to be reviewed line by line by experts with enormous care for the specific patterns that might lead to a memory bug. The review takes years of expert time. New code has to be reviewed again every time. The total cost of keeping a library like OpenSSL secure is the cost of all of that careful expert review, ongoing forever. A cryptographic library written in Rust, by contrast, has an entire category of bugs ruled out at compile time. The expert review still happens because cryptography is hard for many other reasons, but the reviewer can focus on the actual cryptographic logic rather than on the memory safety bookkeeping. The result is that the same expert hour produces more value when applied to Rust code than when applied to C code, because more of that hour is going into checking what matters. Over the long run, this means that the security of cryptographic libraries written in Rust will outpace the security of equivalent libraries written in C, not just because of fewer memory bugs, but because the limited expert attention can finally be focused where it is most needed. There is a final observation worth making, which is about the durability of this migration. Cryptographic libraries are not the kind of software that gets replaced every few years. Once a library has been adopted at scale, has earned the trust of the community, and has been integrated into critical infrastructure, it tends to stay in place for decades. OpenSSL has been in place for almost 3 decades. The next generation, the Russell's generation, is likely to be in place for a similar length of time. The choice the industry is making now, in this 5-year window, is the choice that will determine the shape of internet security for the next 30 years. That is a lot of weight to put on a few small libraries, but that is genuinely how this kind of infrastructure works. It is also worth noting that the migration is happening at different speeds in different places, and the unevenness tells you something about the institutions involved. The cloud providers, who pay every day for the cost of security incidents in dollars and reputation, are moving aggressively. The Linux kernel, which has finite expert review capacity and treats cryptographic code as one of its highest priority categories, is moving steadily. The smaller open source projects, which are often maintained by volunteers with limited time, are moving more slowly, because the cost of rewriting a working library is real and the volunteer hours are scarce. The pattern of the migration is, in this sense, a map of where institutions actually weigh the cost of memory bugs heavily and where they are still living with the older trade-off. Over time, the map will fill in. But the early years of this migration are unevenly distributed in ways that are worth understanding when you are evaluating any particular piece of software that handles sensitive data. 3 things to carry away from today. The first is that the cryptographic libraries that protect every secure connection on the internet have, for decades, been written in languages that do not prevent the kinds of memory bugs that produce the worst security incidents, and the cumulative cost of those bugs has been enormous. The second is that a new generation of cryptographic libraries written in Rust, starting with Russell's but extending to many others, is now production ready and being adopted across the industry, slowly displacing the older libraries the way a new bridge slowly displaces an old one. The third is that this migration is happening not just for technical reasons, but also for political ones, with governments, including the United States National Security Agency, explicitly recommending memory-safe languages for the next generation of critical infrastructure. Next time on Rust, gently, we're going to look at a different kind of place where Rust has been quietly winning, one that is less about replacing what came before and more about building something that has never existed. We will look at the world of WebAssembly, the portable binary format that is becoming the universal adapter for running code anywhere, and we will see why Rust has turned out to be the language of choice for this new substrate. Until then, take good care of yourself. I will see you in the next one.